because we're in between books of the Bible right now, we're going to take some time as we open the Word of God, and we're going to look at biblical motherhood as we see it portrayed in Scripture. Biblical motherhood. And to do this, we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and open to 2 Kings chapter 4. We're talking about biblical motherhood, and the way that I've structured these points, it's going to be geared toward mothers because it's Mother's Day. But listen, that does not mean that if you're not a mother, you have an excuse to zone out and not listen and not pay attention and not study Scripture with us this morning. Everything is geared toward mothers. However, there is something in each point, there's a principle in each point that can apply to every single person in this room. This is not just for mothers. It's worded for mothers because it's Mother's Day. But this is for you, believer, whether you're a mother or not. We're going to see the truth of the Word of God as portrayed through this widow in 2 Kings chapter 4. So if you're willing and able this morning, would you please stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God? 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse 1, and we'll read through verse 7. And the Word of God says, "Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. But the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves.' And Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house?' And she said, 'Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil.' Then he said, 'Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set aside.' So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, 'Bring me another vessel.' And he said to her, 'There is not another.' Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest.'" Let's pray together. God, we have opened your word before us this morning. And Father, as we have your word open, as we seek to study it and to know it and to know you through it, Father, we pray that you would grant us through your grace that privilege. Father, as we study your word, help us to grow in our knowledge of you, in our familiarity with you, in our relationship with you. Help us to grow in our faith. Disciple us on your word this morning. Father, I pray that through your word, sinners would be brought to repentance, hearts would be changed, and lives would be saved this morning. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. This is a passage of Scripture that's probably somewhat familiar to most of us in the room today, and that's certainly okay. We're talking about a widow in this passage, and this widow has, obviously, she's lost her husband, and she's left with two sons that don't have a father. She doesn't have her husband, the sons don't have a father. It's just this widowed mother and her two sons. And what we're going to see displayed from this mother is incredible faithfulness. Now let's look at this together, beginning in verse 1. "Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha." So right off the bat, immediately, what's happening is we see this widowed mother has gone to Elisha, the prophet. And so we open up this passage with her talking to Elisha. She's gone to the man of God. She's gone to the prophet. And here's where we get the context for the passage. Here's where we find the situation. "Your servant, my husband, is dead." Notice how she says to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband." Her husband was a prophet, serving under Elisha, working with Elisha. Elisha knew her husband well. Her husband was a man who served God and was faithful to God in his life. "Your servant, my husband, is dead." Watch this. She appeals to Elisha's personal knowledge and relationship with her late husband. "And you know that your servant feared the Lord." She says, "Elisha, you know my husband. You know that he feared the Lord. You know that he was faithful. You worked with him. You knew him personally. You knew what kind of man my husband was. You knew the life that he lived. You knew that he was faithful to the Lord. You know that your servant feared the Lord." But watch what comes next. Your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves. And this is what lays out the context that we're working with for the rest of the passage. Here we have this widowed mother and her two sons. And her son was a servant of Elisha, worked with Elisha, worked under Elisha. He was most likely a prophet in training. He died. We know from this passage, from the context that we've read so far, that her husband had some debt. Because the creditors are now coming to take her two sons to be slaves. So we have this widowed mother, and she's got her sons, but her husband is gone, and now they're threatening to take her sons to work as indentured servants to pay off the debts of her late husband. She's very close to not only having lost her husband, but to also losing her sons for several years. This is a bad situation. And notice how this plays out again in verse 1. You know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be a slave. And this is a great example of the fact that just because you are faithful does not mean that everything in life is going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems. This was a faithful man of God who served God. Yet still, here is his family facing a grave problem. This is the context. This mother has this incredibly serious problem. What did she do first? The first thing that this mother did, it says at the very beginning of verse 1, now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha. Before we even find out what's going on, we see that this mother was seeking the counsel of God. And if you've got your outlines this morning, that's number one on your outline. Biblical mothers seek the counsel of God first. Here's this widowed mother who has this problem. And this problem is not only going to affect her, it's going to affect her two sons. And she doesn't know what to do. So the first thing that she does in response is not trying to figure out on her own. She doesn't try to handle it on her own. The first thing that we see that this mother does is she goes to Elisha. Because in this day and age, they could not access God directly. They couldn't pray. But she wanted to seek the counsel of God, so she went to Elisha. And she began pouring her heart out to Elisha, telling him this is what's going on, because she was wanting the counsel of God. She was wanting the word of God. And if she was going to receive it, it was going to come from the prophet. What this mother is doing is she is starting by seeking the counsel of God. That's what biblical mothers do. I would argue that that is what faithful believers do. You would do well not to try to handle your problems on your own before you come to God. You would do well to start with God, to seek his counsel first, to consult his word first. And there are two ways that we seek the counsel of God. They're on your outline. We seek the counsel of God first through prayer. This is what's going on. She's not praying because they couldn't access God directly yet. So she's going instead to the prophet. And what she does when she gets to Elisha and she pours her heart out, she lays down the situation. And when she's talking to Elisha, what she's doing is she's laying down the situation before the Lord and asking that God would speak to her and give her direction, give her guidance, give her wisdom and how to go about it. She's giving the situation up to God. Mothers, first thing you ought to do in every situation is seek the counsel of God first. Seek the counsel of God first in all situations. Go to him in prayer and lay the situation down. Say, God, this is what's going on. Come before the throne of grace that we talked about last week and lay the situation down before the throne of God. Entrust yourself to the God who created all things and is in control of all things. But understand, your answer does not come through prayer. We seek the counsel of God through prayer, and here's the next point, also through Scripture. See, through prayer, we come to God with our problems, and we can lay those problems down. We can entrust those problems before God and his throne. We don't receive the answer through prayer. We receive the answer through Scripture. So here's how we seek the counsel of God. We go to God humbly, trusting in him, giving him the situation. And after we go to God in prayer, we go to God through His Word. If you want God to speak to you, open your Bibles and read it. If you want the wisdom of God, the direction of God, the guidance of God in your life, the counsel of God over all things, open your Bible and read it. God will never speak to you if you're not reading the Bible. Because it's the Word of God, the written Word of God, through which God speaks to us. So in order to get the counsel of God, you need to pray and you need to read your Bible. And this is something that is characteristic of biblical mothers. I remember seeing my mother every single day in the mornings praying and reading Scripture. Because every single day, the first thing she wanted to do was to seek the counsel of God for that day and whatever was going on. My mom modeled that for me. I saw it. I saw her faithfulness, going to God in prayer, going to God through Scripture. That's what biblical mothers do. And so she goes to Elijah. And watch what happens. She lays down the situation. She seeks the counsel of God. In verse 2, Elijah said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house?" And she said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, watch this. "Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into all of these vessels." So she seeks the counsel of God, and what does she get from Elijah? What is the counsel of God? What is the word of God that she receives from Elijah? Again, let's look at it. Go outside, borrow vessels, not too few, shut the door behind yourself and your sons, and pour into these vessels. She seeks the counsel of God, and what she gets are instructions, many instructions. Instructions that she is to follow. In church family, when you seek the counsel of God, you need to be prepared to receive instructions. The counsel of God is going to bring you instructions. But notice, it's not just instructions that she receives. Go outside, borrow vessels from all the neighbors, empty vessels and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons. And once she's done that, imagine, she's got a house full of all of these empty vessels. And what's the one thing that she's told the prophet that she has? It's this jar of oil. And many scholars believe that because this man was a prophet, this would have been his anointing oil. So it wasn't a big jar of oil, it was a small jar of oil that he could have carried on his person and taken with him wherever he was going to go. It was something that he needed to have handy. There was not much oil in this jar. So you have this house full of all of these empty vessels, and now you have this little jar of oil. And watch what he says. Pour into all these vessels. You see, this is an instruction, but it's not just an instruction. How is one little jar of oil going to pour into a house full of empty vessels? And when one is full, set it aside. Not only is she to pour into all those vessels, but she's supposed to fill them up with the oil from that jar. And once one is full, she's supposed to set it aside and do the next one. How is the oil from this little jar of anointing oil, how is it supposed to fill all of these empty vessels? You see, if you don't look at this with wisdom, all you see are instructions and you fail to see the promises. What is the counsel of God? It's His instructions for our life, but it's also His promises. And that's what this mother receives from Elisha. He's given her instructions, but he's also given her promises. So what does she do? Verse 5. She went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, watch this, they, her sons, brought the vessels to her. Now there's a lot that's implied that we can reasonably bring out of verse 5. She goes in and says that she shuts the door behind herself and her sons. She starts pouring. So we know that when she shut the door behind herself and her sons, she had gotten the vessels. And we can see that her sons are there helping her because her sons are bringing the vessels to her. Which means that most likely as she was going around and getting all the vessels, she wasn't carrying all these vessels by herself. She had her sons helping her. So if her sons were helping her, after she received the counsel of God, His promises and His instructions, what was the next thing that she did? This is number 2. Biblical mothers communicate the instructions and promises of God to their children. Biblical mothers start By seeking the counsel of God. By seeking after God themselves. And once biblical mothers receive the instructions and the promises of God from His Word, biblical mothers communicate that to their children. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. You've probably heard this verse a time or two. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. Let me ask you something. This is a shared responsibility between mothers and fathers to train up their children in the way they should go. So let me ask you, mothers and fathers, how do you train up a child in the way that they should go if you are not seeking the counsel of God and communicating it to the children? You cannot train up a child according to the Word of God if you are not seeking the Word of God yourself and communicating it to your children. Biblical mothers understand this. And so they seek the counsel of God and they communicate that. They teach that. They train their children up according to the instructions and the promises of God given in the Word of God. So she communicates this to her sons. And we see this in verse 5, the fruit of this. Not only has she told them what the prophet has said, the instructions and the promises. Watch this, verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. She didn't do this on her own. She involved her sons in the process. I remember when I was a kid, I hated doing chores. I hated it. I still don't like it very much. But when I was a kid, I detested doing chores. But every once in a while, my parents had different things that they wanted me to help them with. My dad has his things that he wanted me to help him with. My mom had hers. And my mom would have me clean different things around the house. Or sometimes she would have me help her cook, and that was usually a disaster. Other times I would help her with dishes. And one thing that I noticed, every time one of my parents would have me help them with something, every time they would involve me in something that needed to be done, any time that they would use that as an opportunity to train or to teach me, it went a lot slower than if they had just done it themselves. And I made mistakes, and I made messes. I messed some things up entirely because they involved me instead of just doing it themselves. And it's so easy. It's so easy to do things in ourselves. And I think that's a temptation for everybody. And so as parents, you have to be careful about this. How does the saying go? If you want something done right, do it yourself. Parents, if you do everything yourself, your child is not going to be trained. This mother recognized that. She didn't do everything herself. She involved her kids in the process. Number three, biblical mothers live faithfully to God's instructions according to God's promises. See, this mother received instructions from God, but she also received a promise. And the promise was that God was going to provide for all of her needs if she followed the instructions and was faithful to Him. She saw the promise of God, and because she believed in the promise of God, because she believed that God would provide, she obeyed the instructions. Now here's what I mean. This is not just for mothers. This is for everybody. God's ultimate promise and God's ultimate provision is Christ. And what we're seeing in this story is pointing us toward the cross of Christ. As God provides for this widowed mother and her sons, we're being pointed to His ultimate provision, which is Christ on the cross. So let me ask you this. If you really believe in the promise of God for salvation to all who believe in Christ, in His death on the cross for sins, in His burial, and in His resurrection, if you truly believe in that promise, doesn't it follow that you would also live according to the instructions? You can't believe the promise without obeying the instructions. It doesn't work that way. Those who believe the promise obey the instructions. That's what this mom is demonstrating. But she's not doing it herself. She has involved her children. So every step of the way, they're getting to obey the instructions of God themselves. They're being taught the instructions of God. They're being taught the promises of God. And watch what happens. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another. Then the oil stopped flowing. So every step of the way, this mother was able to teach and demonstrate to her kids the instructions of God and the promises of God. And each step of the way, these sons were able to witness and experience for themselves the promises of God being fulfilled through this little jar of oil. They got to see God's faithfulness because of their love. Verse 7, she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell your oil, and watch this, pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest. How does this point to Christ? According to Scripture, every sinner owes a spiritual debt that they cannot pay. And the wages of this spiritual debt, according to the book of Romans, is death. What we deserve in and of ourselves, in our sin, is death for our sins. That's what's coming for us. Like the creditor was coming for her sons, death is coming for sinners. And this is an eternal death. Not a one-time experience, but something that is eternal, that is lasting. This is eternity in hell. Under the wrath, the condemnation, and the punishment of God. That is what is coming. That is your creditor as a sinner. Yet, God showed his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died to save the ungodly. He died to save the unworthy. And in so doing, all who trust in Christ as their Savior, they have their spiritual debt wiped out. Their debt is paid for. On the cross of Christ, your sins were carried. They were borne, and they were paid for. Your debt was eliminated if you believe in him. And then through the life of Christ, not only is your debt eliminated, but you have enough to live on for eternity. Notice how this ends. Elisha says to her, go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest. You see, God's promise is one that carries for eternity. God has promised that all who trust in Christ will be provided for eternity. It didn't just pay their debts, it gave them enough to live. And Christ came and gave up his life on the cross so that your spiritual debt could be erased through him, and so that you may have life, and life abundant and eternal. But here's number four, and I'll get ready to close. Biblical mothers provide a testimony to the faithfulness and the glory of God. Biblical mothers provide a testimony to the faithfulness and the glory of God. What has this mother done? She began by seeking the counsel of God. She went to God first. She said, God, here's what's going on. What am I going to do? She listened to the word of God. She received his instructions. She received his promises. She believed his promises. So she followed the instructions. And every step of the way, she made sure that her sons were involved. So that every step of the process, they got to see God fulfilling his promise. And then at the end, their sons know exactly who provided for them. They know exactly who paid their debt. They know by exactly who has provided for their life. Because of their mother, these two boys saw everything that God had done for them. Mothers, you are such a blessing. We love you so much. We appreciate you so much. Your responsibility primarily to your kids is to point them to the cross of Christ. Biblical mothers are a testimony to the faithfulness and the glory of God. When they seek the counsel of God, they teach that to their children. They train their children up in the counsel of God. And when they involve their kids in the process, biblical mothers train their kids to see, understand, and believe in the faithfulness of God to his promises. If you look at this passage, if you don't look carefully enough, this looks like nothing but a passage of instructions that need to be followed. Don't miss the promise. Mothers and fathers, you have a responsibility to train your kids up. Do it according to the word of God. Show them his promises. Show them your faithfulness. Mothers, if you are not faithful to God, your kids will not be faithful. If you're not obedient to God, your kids will not be obedient. They will do as you do, not as you say. Biblical mothers are a testimony to God's faithfulness. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul writes to Timothy, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Timothy was trained to be a leader in the church, a pastor, an elder in the church. He was serving God. He was faithful to God. He feared God. But Paul recognized Timothy was trained by his mother, who was trained by her mother. The mothers in the life of Timothy provided him a testimony to the faithfulness of God to keep his promise. Mothers, every single day in all that you do, point your kids to the cross of Christ. Because it is at the cross of Christ that everything they will ever need has been provided for them. The greatest need that your children have from you, mothers, is that you would point them to the cross. You're here this morning. That is your greatest need. Your greatest need is to be pointed to the cross. Won't you trust in Christ for salvation today? Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day. And we thank you for your word, for the instructions and the promises that it brings. Father, we thank you for all that you've given us, all that you've done for us through Christ. Your grace has afforded us infinitely more than what we could ever deserve. And Father, we are so thankful for that. God, help us each day to trust in you, to follow you. Lord, help us to be faithful to your promises, and in so doing, to be faithful to your instructions. Help us to live the life that you've called us to live, that you've instructed us to live, so that we might be a testimony of your faithfulness to those around us. Father, I pray for anyone this morning that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Father, that you would call them, that they would be saved. God, again, thank you for the mothers in our lives, for their faithfulness to you, for their willingness to point us to Christ. God, we pray all these things in Christ's name.